Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, cultural enrichment, and all-inclusive fares. Discover more at Viking.com.
Residents in the Gaza Strip brace for a powerful Israeli offensive. And divisions over the Israel-Hamas war flare up on U.S. college campuses.
There was a very quick response from the pro-Palestinian community on college campuses laying blame for the attack at the feet of Israel, saying they had essentially created the conditions that led to the violence. And that was met with outrage and indignation.
Plus, big banks post strong earnings, but warn trouble is coming. It's Friday, October 13th. I'm Anne-Marie Fertoli for The Wall Street Journal. This is the PM edition of What's News, the top headlines and business stories that moved the world today. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu told his nation in a late address today that Hamas had only begun to pay the price for Saturday's unprecedented attack. Netanyahu said, quote, "We are going to eliminate Hamas." Israel's military said earlier that it had entered the Gaza Strip to conduct raids targeting Hamas militants as part of an effort to find Israeli hostages. And it airdropped flyers over the region warning civilians to move south. The UN and other humanitarian groups warned that Israel's order would affect more than 1 million people in northern Gaza and deepen a humanitarian crisis there. During a speech in Philadelphia, President Biden said that Hamas is pure evil. He also reaffirmed U.S. support for Israel and said the U.S. is working with Israel, Egypt, Jordan, and other Arab nations to ease the humanitarian crisis in Gaza.
We can't lose sight of the fact that the overwhelming majority of Palestinians had nothing to do with Hamas and Hamas's appalling attacks, and they're suffering as a result as well.
Joining me now to talk more about today's developments is our North Africa correspondent, Chow Dang. Chow, what is happening in Gaza amid this evacuation order from Israel, as we're also hearing calls from the UN and others to rescind the order?
There has been a huge amount of confusion, panic, and fear. People are trying to follow the Israeli military's instructions to move south of the Strip, but a lot of families simply can't. Israel has been carrying out airstrikes since this weekend, so people are under a constant barrage. It's not really safe even for them to move. And there's barely any electricity and fuel, food, water in the Strip, so life has been pretty impossible.
And another development today, the Israeli military says it is now conducting raids in Gaza in hopes of finding Israeli hostages. What else can you tell us about those efforts to find hostages and the sorts of challenges that are going to come up in trying to do so?
Well, U.S. officials discussed this issue with Israel this past week in meetings in Tel Aviv. But the backdrop is that this is a war and chances of recovering hostages are quite low. And the bombing campaign by Israel in Gaza is putting lives at risk, including the 100 or so hostages that Hamas has kidnapped and spread around Gaza Strip. And the latest from the Hamas side is that about a dozen of these 100 or so hostages have already been killed by the Israeli bombing campaign.
Wall Street Journal North Africa correspondent Chow Dang. Meanwhile, supporters of Palestinians gathered across the Middle East today to protest after Friday prayers in a show of solidarity as Israel prepares to launch a ground invasion against Hamas in Gaza. Tens of thousands of protesters rallied in Tahrir Square in the Iraqi capital of Baghdad, burning large Israeli flags. Protests also erupted in Cairo despite Egyptian restrictions on demonstrations, and smaller gatherings took place in Bahrain, Qatar, and Tunisia. Israel's airstrikes in the Gaza Strip have stoked concern and anger among Arabs and others in the region over the humanitarian situation in the Palestinian territory. The Israel-Hamas war has laid bare deep divisions across the U.S. as debates over the conflict rage in the political sphere and are hashed out in workplaces and on college campuses. In just one example, last night, thousands of students gathered on the grounds of Columbia University's Morningside Heights campus in New York City. On one lawn, a pro-Israel group sang a Hebrew prayer calling for peace. And on another lawn across the quad, a pro-Palestinian group shouted, "Free Palestine."
Free, free, free Palestine! Free, free, free Palestine! Free, free,
Gatherings like these have been taking place across the country this week. Joining me now to discuss is our higher education reporter, Doug Belkin. Welcome back, Doug.
Thanks very much for the invitation.
Let's start on college campuses. We've seen protests in support of Israel and in support of Palestinians, but it's been a bit fraught. Can you give us a sense of how this has been playing out across the country this week?
When reports of the initial attacks from Hamas militants were coming across into the U.S., there was a very quick response from the pro-Palestinian community on college campuses laying blame for the attack at the feet of Israel, saying they had essentially created the conditions that led to the violence. And that was met with outrage and indignation when university presidents were not quick to condemn the attacks. Then that also led to a lot of frustration and indignation. So the week progressed. We saw a lot of leaders, Jewish American leaders, Larry Summers, a former president of Harvard, Bill Ackerman, spoke out and condemned both university presidents for failing to speak with moral clarity, as they put it, and condemned some of the students who signed statements which blamed the Israelis for the attacks. That sort of escalated, and folks began to dox some of the members of the student organizations which signed on to some of these statements. And it sort of culminated Wednesday and Thursday on the campus of Harvard, where there was a truck circling the campus with the names and faces of students who are members of these student organizations which had signed on to this. A lot of those student organizations pulled their names as the pressure mounted. And then yesterday, the Students for Justice in Palestine tried to organize across the country a series of protests and rallies in support of the Palestinians. And that was met with a fair amount of confrontation by students who were in support of Israel. So there's been a real dramatic week across the country on college campuses.
And this is also playing out in the U.S.'s workplaces as well. This week, the Anti-Defamation League urged CEOs of Fortune 500 companies to sign what it called its workplace pledge to fight anti-Semitism. How are U.S. companies generally responding? We've seen some that have made statements, but others that are staying quiet. And I imagine both of those stances come with considerable risks.
I think the same dynamics are really at play here. Leadership of these corporations want to keep doing business, and they want to try to thread the needle of being on the side of the sort of moral high ground, and they don't want to offend people as well. So corporations are trying to condemn the acts and the violence and stay out of taking sides.
Doug, I think important to acknowledge as well that this is all taking place against the backdrop of rising anti-Semitic incidents on college campuses.
That's right. The status of Israel has shifted over the decades as Israel went from kind of the underdog to being a country that controlled territory in Gaza and in the West Bank. It's being considered a colonizer and an oppressor by the left, which is obviously pretty dominant on a lot of college campuses. And so the Palestinian organizations have grown in strength in a number around the country. They've criticized Zionism. That's caught up a lot of Jewish students who may have mixed feelings about Israel, but often feel that the critique extends beyond simply Israel and toward anti-Semitism. So the number of reported anti-Semitic incidents on college campuses has been going up for several years. And there's some pretty, disturbing trends of Jewish kids reporting they've been getting spit on and this sort of thing. So this has been going on for a few years, and it's part of the backdrop against which the pro-Palestinian groups sent out these statements in support of the Palestinians, even as these attacks were happening.
That's Wall Street Journal higher education reporter Doug Belkin. Coming up, J.P. Morgan Chase, Citigroup, and Wells Fargo post strong earnings reports. So why are their executives saying the good times may be coming to an end? More after the break.
Robert Half research indicates 9 out of 10 hiring managers are having difficulty hiring. Robert Half is here to help. Our recruiting professionals utilize our proprietary AI to connect businesses with highly skilled talent. At Robert Half, we know talent. Visit roberthalf.com today.
In France, a teacher was killed today in a suspected terrorist attack on a high school. French officials say two other people were wounded. The suspect, who is of Chechen origin, shouted Allahu Akbar before launching the attack, and officials say he was on a terrorism watch list. He was detained after the attack. Our Paris bureau chief, Stacey Miketree, says the attack comes as the country is already on edge over the Israel-Hamas war.
Whenever unrest boils up in the Middle East, it tends to spill over into France. You'll recall that in 2015, France was the scene of several really brutal terror attacks that basically stemmed from the chaos that was unleashed by the civil war in Syria and the rise of Islamic State. The fear among French officials is that what we're seeing currently in the Middle East might start to make its way to French shores.
France has raised the nation's terror alert to its highest level and is bracing for more violence fueled by the Israel-Hamas war. France's interior minister also indicated that there is a link between today's attack and what's happened in the Middle East. France is home to some of Europe's largest Muslim and Jewish populations. U.S. House Republicans have now nominated Ohio Representative Jim Jordan to be their next speaker. But it's not a done deal. He, too, must now overcome the same math challenges that sank the GOP's previous choice, Louisiana Representative Steve Scalise. Scalise was nominated by the party earlier this week, but dropped out last night after several dozen colleagues declined to rally to his side. The House has been without a speaker since a small group of party rebels voted to oust Kevin McCarthy last week. The first big banks to report earnings are posting strong results. Together, J.P. Morgan Chase, Wells Fargo, and Citigroup reported more than $22 billion in profits in the third quarter, up by more than a third from the same period a year ago. But our banking reporter David Benoit says their executives, including J.P. Morgan CEO Jamie Dimon, are worried there could be trouble ahead.
So Dimon came out and said, "This may be the most dangerous time the world has seen in decades." And what he means is like, look, rates are still going up. We're going to lose a little bit of that benefit that's kind of gone through our pipes already. And we're going to start seeing consumers and businesses struggle with higher rates. We're going to see probably a slowdown, which is what the Federal Reserve is trying to do. That's going to lead to slowdowns in consumer borrowing, consumer spending, et cetera. And you add what's happened in Israel over the last week, what's still happening in Ukraine. You add in what's going on in Washington with drama and just global geopolitical issues. And the executives are saying, look, we don't know what's coming down the pike. We know we've been saying this. It might not be as bad as we once feared, but we don't know what's coming, and we're a little worried about that.
Health system Kaiser Permanente and labor unions have reached a tentative agreement after 75,000 healthcare workers hit the picket lines earlier this month. Both sides announced the deal would include a 21% increase to wages over 4 years, more investment in training and professional development, and protections on outsourcing and subcontracting positions. The deal must now be ratified by workers before terms take effect. In other business news, Microsoft has closed its $75 billion acquisition of video game company Activision Blizzard. It's the biggest deal in Microsoft's nearly 50-year history and took 21 months to close amid concerns from global regulators. And so long to getting lost in thought. Scientists have unveiled the most comprehensive map of the human brain ever made, the culmination of a 10-year project backed by $500 million in federal funding. More than 250 researchers studied donated living brain tissue, cutting it into thin slices to examine the properties of individual cells. Our science reporter Daniela Hernandez says the map will give us insights into potential treatments for various brain diseases.
Right now, we know very little about the human brain. It's like this extreme environment that we haven't been able to explore before in the detail that scientists have been dreaming of for centuries. And so having that initial map helps them understand what a healthy brain looks like and what a brain that maybe is going through Parkinson's or Alzheimer's or depression or schizophrenia might look like. And so when you're able to do those comparisons, it helps scientists figure out what to target, what to treat, and how to develop therapies that might help with those conditions and other ones.
And that's what's news for this week. Today's show was produced by Pierre Bien-Aimé and Anthony Bansi. What's News is hosted by me, Anne-Marie Fertoli, and Luke Vargas. Additional support this week from Melissa Korn. Our supervising producers this week were Sandra Kilhoff, Michael Kosmides, and Catherine Millsop. Aisha Al-Muslim is our development producer. Scott Salloway and Chris Sinsley are our deputy editors. And Falana Patterson is The Wall Street Journal's head of news audio. We'll be back with a new show on Monday morning. Thanks for listening.
This message comes from Viking, committed to exploring the world in comfort. Journey through the heart of Europe on an elegant Viking longship with thoughtful service, destination-focused dining, and cultural enrichment on board and on shore. And every Viking voyage is all-inclusive with no children and no casinos. Discover more at Viking.com.